Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Hello, friend, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Deeper Daily Broadcast. This is Pastor Paul White. So good to have you with me today. I want to thank you for those of you who are continuously emailing, writing, calling, and telling us what this program means to you. If you've never contacted us, we would love to hear from you. And those that send donations and help keep us on the air, thank you so very, very much for investing your time, your money, your efforts into the continual sending out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We appreciate it so much. Before I get into the message, let me take a second and invite you to come out tonight. I start a revival this evening for those of you in the Southeast Missouri area. This might be a short drive, depending on where you're at. Just south of Puxico, Missouri, on Highway 51, there is a church called the Hobbs Chapel Methodist Church, and we would love to be in service with you tonight. I'll be there tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night at 7 o'clock, ministering God's awesome grace and favor. So come and be with us in that service if you can. I continue today the message we started on Monday. Here is Perfect Rest in the Seven Wounds of Jesus.
What are the cares of this life? Thorns. What happens to the man who receives the gospel, but he receives it in thorny ground? He listens and succumbs to the cares of this world until he becomes, notice in verse 22, unfruitful. Now, I want you to notice something. This doesn't say this man's not saved. We got a lot of people in the church who are believers who are unfruitful. Right? Unfruitful. No fruits of righteousness come. Don't ever, ever, ever fall into the trap of thinking, man, you know what we need in the church? We need more righteousness. Wrong answer. You can't get more righteous than His righteousness. What do we need? We need more fruits of righteousness. Telling people we need to be more righteous is telling them they need to go out and do stuff to get righteous in our eyes. Now, a lot of churches will tell you that. We don't like what you're doing. We don't like what you're not doing. You better start doing it. Shape up or ship out. Okay? Because when you're going to go to this church, this is the way it's going to be. We do need fruit. But not everybody has fruit because, why? Because a lot of people are letting the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, which is the desire to go chase after things that aren't of Jesus, to go chase after the stuff, they let that swallow up their faith. So they come to church, they get saved. Are they saved? Man, they're saved and they're excited. But it's not long when they don't dwell on Jesus and His loveliness. They dwell on the stock market. They dwell on the crash. They dwell on their health. They dwell on sin. They dwell on their stress. They dwell on their problems. They dwell on their stuff until there's no room for Jesus. And He doesn't look lovely anymore. And then church becomes burdensome and hard. And what's our natural response when stuff becomes hard is we start trying to work our way back into favor. Work, 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 work. Gotta work, gotta work. Doesn't work. Try to work, doesn't work. Get more stressed. More distressed. What happens? Thorns. What's Jesus called them? Cares of this life. What did Jesus have pressed into His skull? Crown of thorns. Using the Bible to interpret the Bible, Jesus had the cares of this life pressed against His skull so you would never have to think about Him again. What a great wound. Thank God for that wound. Thank God Jesus said, bring the thorns. Because my people are going to be stressed to the max. And they're going to have, you know what's going to happen? Their brains are going to get bombarded. They're going to lay in bed at night, and they're not going to be able to think straight. Because all hell's going to come against their mind. Hell has to come against their mind, because hell can't come against their salvation. They're saved. But hell can try to rob their sleep, and try to mess up the way they think. And hell try to get them on the wrong track. Even mess with your mind, you start reading the Bible different. And you don't even see the Word of God correctly anymore. You start looking for the wrong things. Satan doesn't care at all if Christians sit around trying to prove other Christians wrong. As a matter of fact, the devil, he gets a great pleasure out of watching you study your Bible. Because a lot of Christians study their Bible like this. Oh, yeah! They write it down, and they go, man, I can't wait to get to work tomorrow and show them that one. And they walk in and go, look what the Bible says. And then the other person goes, oh, yeah, the Bible says this. And we think, oh, boy, we're really beating the devil up, aren't we? No. Satan could not care less. Matter of fact, why don't you guys go off and have a party? He'll even provide the Bibles if you need them and the paper and the pens. He'll give you time free to go do it. Just go beat the fire out of each other on all the stuff that you think is relevant and important. Never showing a soul Christ. Never resting in the finished work. Where's the dove? Flying around. Not resting in the cleft of the rock. Doves out there fighting doves. No, who shows up watch doves fight doves? You know, that's not what the church is supposed to be about. That's not what the Word of God's supposed to be about. Paul even said, he even told Timothy, avoid strange questions. Avoid genealogies. Avoid vain jangling. Big word in the King James, which means useless talk. It's going to be a lot of people, Timothy, try to waste your time on getting you to look stuff up. He said, move past it. You're never going to set a soul free trying to look stuff up all the time. Look up Christ. Find Christ. If you find yourself diverted looking for stuff, stop, rewind, start over, find Jesus. So you know what? I'm getting wore out reading the Bible. Why? Because you're always trying to prove everybody wrong. You won't get wore out reading the Word if you just look for Jesus. So I'm going to go find Jesus today. And man, this stuff will just fly by. It'll explode in your heart because that's why God wrote it, was to show you Jesus, not to show you up. Let it show you Jesus and His beauty. Now, the crown of thorns are the cares of this life. He came so that you could have peace of mind. Let's use a supporting scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 3. We're only on the fifth wound. We're going to have to hurry. Oh, we're only on the fourth wound. Oh, no. Let's go fast. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 3. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint, where? In your minds. Watch this. If you don't consider Him that endured the finished work, what will happen to you? You will be wearied and faint in your mind. Did you notice that if you don't consider the finished work, He didn't say you'll backslide, you'll go to hell. He said you'll be weary and faint up here. You'll get tired. You'll get stressed out. Just trying to live for God, because you stop considering Him who's endured it for you. Instead, you keep trying to endure it for you. You can't endure it for you. He endured. What should you do? See it and rest. You don't rest till you see it. See it and rest. See His loveliness. See Him as having Christ. You say, well, what am I supposed to do, Pastor? I don't know what to do. First of all, relax. Calm down. Don't stress out. And when you feel and know the enemy's attacking this, because he will, I'm not giving him glory. I'm just telling you his one job he's good at. He can't beat you. He can't defeat you. But he can confuse you. So he's going to go to work up here. All right? And he's going to work overtime. He's even going to try to sneak into your dreams. You ever woke up and have dreamed something you know was not godly? I've woke up and rebuked the devil more than once. Said, I'm not going to dwell on that garbage today that was there. Even if it wasn't the devil, I want to go ahead and rebuke him anyway. Because I think it's good that he gets slapped. First thing in the morning. Devil, I know you didn't have anything to do with that, but in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. How you like that? Smack him really good. What do you do? Relax, calm, see Christ as having wore the crown of thorns. Father, I can't take this. The stress of this job, the stress of my life, the stress of this financial situation. I'm staying awake at night. I'm losing my sleep. I'm feasting on the bread of sorrows day and night. I don't know what to do, but I do know that Jesus had the crown of thorns pressed into His skull so that my mind could be free. So Christ, I see You as having paid for it for me, and I rest in the cleft of the rock. I pick the cleft of Your crown of thorns, and I rest right there because I know that You suffered in Your head. So I'll never have to suffer in mine. In Jesus' name. And move on. Don't worry about it all day. Don't think about it all day. Let it go. That's what rest is all about. Not rest and then you stress. Rest because He was stressed. You won't get it until you consider Him that endured. You can get two words out of this verse is enough. Consider Him. I've had them boxed in my Bible for you. When I went back and looked at my notes today, there's a big box around them. Consider Him. If you can consider Him, be weary and faint in your mind, begins to vanish. What are you considering? He who was fought against by sinners. So we're not considering the man that walked on the water. We're not considering the healing of the miracle of the 5,000. No, we're considering Christ's finished work. Christ's, the shot sinners got to, on that day, hell got to attack Jesus. Sinners were able to do to Jesus, religious sinners, what they had wanted to do to Jesus for 3.5 years of ministry. Jesus endured it so you wouldn't have to. Praise God. All right, Zechariah chapter 13. Let's kick it into overdrive. Zechariah, we've got four of his wounds covered. Let's cover the fifth. To do so, the 13th chapter of Zechariah, I'm going to have to stay off of this. I can't stay here long because I really would love to talk to you about the sword that wakes up and howls in verse 7. But instead, let's just look at verse 6. Okay, you can look at verse 7 on your time. Verse 6, one shall say to him being Jesus, what are these wounds in your hands? And he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. The fifth wound of Jesus was the hands pierced at the cross. When he laid his hands out on the cross and spread his arms, when he laid his hands out, the Bible tells us in Zechariah that they were pierced. Notice I said the Bible tells us in Zechariah they were pierced, because wonder of wonders, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John never says, and they pierced his hands and feet. All Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John says is they crucified him. Now, the reason we know they must have pierced his hands and feet is, for one, we're going to see it here, and we're going to find it in other scriptures, but crucifixion involved the piercing of the hands and feet. And so whenever they were writing it in an old Roman world, they knew that all of their readers would understand what crucifixion was. So Jesus had to lay his hands out. I personally believe that they didn't press his hands down against the wood. I personally believe Jesus was the first person they had ever seen that put his own hands out on the cross. I think it was the precursor to the centurion saying a few hours later, surely this man was the Son of God. I never seen anybody like this guy. And Jesus, who laid his hands out, will say someday when he comes back, and the world looks at him upon his return and says, how'd you get those wounds in your hand? And Jesus says, those are the wounds I received when I was in the house of my friends. The house of my friends was, I came for the Jews, and they rejected me. So who was it then that bears that responsibility of having put the nails into him, is the rejecting nation, Israel. The wounds that he bore in his hands. Now, in the Old Testament, the reference to hands are multied. We don't have time to go through them all, but just a real quick look at them. Clean hands. Washed our hands in innocence. The work of your hands. Almost every time, the word hands has to do with you doing something or your guilt. Clean hands, dirty hands. Which didn't mean wash them. It meant blood on my hands. Ezekiel would say, blood on our hands. What's that mean? That means I'm guilty. I did it. I'm the one that should suffer. Jesus bore the nails into his hands so that it would redeem whatever you touch. Whatever you lay your hands on has been favored because Jesus suffered in his hands. Aren't you glad for that? Believers, you should live that way. You should believe that your job is blessed because you work there. Why? Because Jesus had his hands pierced so that everything my hands touch, blessed. Whatever the believer puts his spiritual hands to the plow, blessed. Believe that wherever you're at, blessings follow you.
That is all that we have time for today. Thank you for listening to the message titled Perfect Rest in the Seven Wounds of Jesus. For your own personal copy of this message, we'll send it to you, our listener, postage paid and free of charge. If you'll contact us at the ministry and ask for it by its title, Perfect Rest in the Seven Wounds of Jesus. Until next time, this is Pastor Paul White, hoping you have a great day. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.